but I'm gonna purchase when that day is jerking. Pull out of churches with Pirelli skirting. Gang signs out the window, you bish. Hope all of them offend you, you bish.
Message.
Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien, Big Daddy Lebanon.
Boy,
it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on December 14, 2025. I was watching this documentary about the city of Ottawa, and they were talking about the Anishinaabe Algonquin tribes, indigenous folks. And I'm about to say something stupid, but they were here for a while, a long while. They were here longer than this country was. I should have known that, but white supremacy. Today's episode is rated R and also rated F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Get mama.
This podcast may not be for you. All right, before I start the show, I want to do what I usually, three things I usually do. First one is I want to send a shout out to all you listeners. I usually ask that you applaud yourselves while you hear the applaud. And it's my way of acknowledging or pointing out or singling out those of you who are my intended target audience and who are in the habit of celebrating others and who are in the habit of celebrating others more than they celebrate their own selves. Great. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. That's right. This also includes those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistake. And if this is your first time, yeah, in both cases, welcome. Yeah, so there are other Shut Up podcasts out there. So it can happen. It can happen. So assuming you stick around, welcome. And here's hoping I say something on this episode that allows us to make history. Second thing I need to do is remind you of the website. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. And ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Today's episode, 315, titled to be determined, but very likely going to be pull off at church with Pirelli skirting. And I'm just going to end the show and talk about my journey into purchasing new winter tires. Oh, excuse me. All weather tires. It's very likely it'll be a short episode. But before we do that, let's start with some quotes and some randomness. I'm a little I'm not distracted. I can't explain this feeling. I feel different than how I usually feel when I record an episode. That's what I'm saying. But fuck it, show must go on. You know, I was watching a whole bunch of quotes and randomness before I just feel the, it's my goddamn podcast. I forgot. Yeah, no, I was watching the, maybe it's because I was watching a whole lot of trailers before starting today's episode. And, season 3 of House of the Dragon is out. That trailer's out. I keep rewatching the trailer for Project Hail Mary, a book that if you're into sci-fi, I recommend checking out. You've probably seen a lot of advertising for it. So I remember when I kept seeing advertising for it, I was annoyed by it until I checked it out, and I'm like, "Whoa, I'm converted. I'm a new man." And I forgot what the other trailer was. All I know is set me down a rabbit hole where I was watching DJ Snake and Lil Jon's video turned down for what? Oh my God, focus. Jesus. Yeah, on this podcast, I tend to derail and forget what segment I'm in. Right. Quotes and randomness. All right. Quotables and randomness. All right. First quotable. It goes, it's just really simple. I forgive people by forgetting them. Shout out to Talal Macy for blessing my timeline with this one. The next one goes, don't try to be understood. It is futile. Be. As in the verb, be. And that's Clarice Lispector. Did I get that right? Clarice Lispector. All right, that's it for quotes, and let's start first randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. What order am I doing this? All right, here's the thing, man. It's today's final thought, final say is should have been a randomness, but fuck it, I'm flipping things around. Well, it's my goddamn podcast, and okay, I want to start with. Okay, I'm going to talk about Nas's new album. But before I do that, there's a thought that's been on my mind, and the concept of gender roles. And I'm not going to play this video, but you've likely seen this video of a guy proposing, and the woman says no. But it's not that he proposes in a public space. And everyone looks at it like it's a movie, and the woman is expected to be like, yes. It's usually a man and woman. And, I have seen a woman propose, and the man says, fuck that. Anyways, but that's a different story. And the only reason I bring this up is, I personally think it's a shitty thing to do, to put a woman in that position. Unless you know for sure you've talked about it, I'm going to make a big show out of it. But I think it's a shitty thing to do because everyone expects you to say yes. And if you don't, then all of a sudden people feel bad for the guy. I'm generalizing, but usually people feel bad for the guy as opposed to maybe she has a good reason. Or maybe it's been a shitty relationship. Look, man, we're not all rom-com. What does that have to do with gender roles? I guess it's just more how, I think it's more for the specific scenarios where it's a shitty man proposing as a way to manipulate the woman to saying yes. Because, and if you're not the kind of woman who stands up for themselves or saying no when they mean it, then I can easily see feeling the pressure of, okay, I'll say yes, but I'll turn you down later. I meant to say no later. I don't know, man. I think, yeah, when it comes to marriage, I guess I should say that about children too, but when it comes to marriage, I don't think it's the kind of thing people should be pressured into getting into. That's really what I'm trying to say. I guess the gender role portion is, I don't know how many men, I was one of them actually, who were pressured into marriage, but I wasn't like, but it wasn't that severe. It was, I could brush it off, but I've never been in a scenario where public settings where everyone say yes, oh, you're a bad person for saying no. Anyway, all right, so I'm gender role. Here's where I really want to get into gender roles. This is why I'm thinking about gender roles, gangs. This next video, I'll tell you what, I'll play for it. I'll play it for you, and we'll talk about it.
Viral security footage captured on December 6th shows the terrifying moment a woman was forced to fight off a knife-wielding mugger after her much taller male companion chose to step back and hide behind a wall. in a move he's now unfortunately paying for with internet infamy. The pair of American tourists were walking down the street on vacation in Colombia when the armed attacker suddenly approached them, lunging at the woman trying to steal her phone, according to Newsflash. A man passing by on a motorcycle is then seen doing what her companion failed to do, jumping into action to help the woman. The passerby hopped off his bike and hit the mugger in the head with his helmet. A few other people passing by also jumped in to help fight the mugger off in a dramatic struggle.
Oh, wow. They beat the shit out of that guy.
Only once the thief was subdued is her companion seen managing to make his way out from behind the wall to comfort the woman. This now viral clip has sent shockwaves through the internet, with many criticizing the man's decision not to help his female companion.
I don't mean to laugh. Look, man, I do not mean to laugh. This is one of those things, maybe I should have written these thoughts down at first. But I'm going to do something. If you go in the comment section, it's jokes, it's disappointment, it's there's gender wars. It's like, oh, what do you bring to the table? How men are useless, or how from men are useless to the incels type of like men constantly bragging. Essentially, this is another reminder of the uselessness of men. Follow, and then you have the men who are like, yo, you a punk, you a bitch. And then, and surprisingly, then where I discovered this article, it was on the forum, and they were blaming the woman, talking about, oh, what, we gotta die for nothing? Like, they were justifying the dude not stepping up for his girlfriend. Or not, what a companion. I'm going to use the word companion. Whatever, man. But I'm going to do the one take I feel like no one's doing, or probably or minority of people are doing. And I'm going to feel sorry for the dude. I'm going to feel sorry for the dude. Not because of some, I want to be clear. I'm not excusing it. I'm not excusing what he did, because I'm thinking about if that were me, if I, instead of the woman, that was me, and my homie was just looking at me, about to get stabbed. Just, hey, man, don't fight back. Now, it'd be different if my friend is yelling at, this is a male friend, I'm going to go with male friend. If my male friend is saying, yo, just give him the fucking phone, B. It'd be different if that's what he's yelling at me. But even though, I don't know, I got pride issues. I don't know, that's a pride issue. It's I'm thinking of Nas's line, die for my necklace. Die for this material shit. All right, yes, getting back. I'm going to feel sorry for the dude, mainly for, in that moment, I'm not excusing the dude. I'm saying, in that moment, it's one of those life presented an opportunity for you to shine and you turned it down. You backed out. Now, I'm not the macho type or whatever. I can relate to the fight or flight, that fight or flight feeling. And you roll the dice and your brain said, all right, flight it is. Good luck. Flight it is. I can relate to fight or flight by myself. When I'm with someone, I'm more the protective type. I'm more the, I'm not looking for trouble. What I was about to say is, okay, here's the reality. In fight or flight modes, unless you're trained, you've trained yourself, or unless you, for the most part, you don't know how it's going to, it's exactly like, I don't know how I would act if I had a gun in my hand and someone is coming to kill me. I don't know how I would in particular, I'm not one of those people who will guarantee how I will respond in a fight or flight moment. Like once I'm on that stage, I might let myself down, or I might rise to the occasion and probably get myself killed. I don't know. I might do something stupid. I don't know. I refuse to be those kind of people. But I am from the school of when you ride with your homie, I'm not going to say it's Haitian culture or whatever, but I grew up on the mindset of whoever you're with, like Tupac, when my homie calls, no matter who the foes, they must fall. Us against them all, I'm down to brawl when my homie calls. You don't leave your hand, you don't leave the person which you stand. I remember friend of mine, I was giving him a ride, and my car died on me and whatever on the side. And I told, yo, I'm going to have car issues, and I'm going to have to deal with this car issue, so I can understand if you want to leave. Dude, we rode together. Whoa, what the fuck? I remember he said, what am I, white? But he took it upon himself as a sense of responsibility to be with me. That's his cultural upbringing. That's his MO. That's his DNA. That's how he is. It's like, yo, we might not be the greatest of friends, but because we are together, we leave together. So I grew up on that mindset. But not to the point of getting yourself killed. I can understand, at first when, like I said, I think I landed on some incel discussion group, and they were discussing it, and they were just all blaming the woman, and they nearly had me because of the idea of, look, it's not worth dying for material shit. Just give up the phone. Just give up whatever, right? But in that video, you're not there, but in that video, the dude with the knife kind of looked a little weird. It might have just been like, chop, take the phone, or whatever. I need to, whatever. I can understand dodging a knife wound, but trying to dodge a knife wound, but yeah, homie was in the back. You know what? No, again, I'm going to feel sorry for the dude, mainly because the occasion presented itself. Yes, you were scared, but you were in a situation where you do it. What is that? You do it anyway. You do it anyway. Feel the fear, but do it anyways. All right. I'm thinking about a moment that I had. This one is a gray line, but I remember situation I was with an ex, and I was we were at some outdoor festival or whatever, eating ribs, and this dude with mental health approaches us, and I've seen him before because I worked in that area, and I've seen him before, and he usually yells at people and people just ignore him and whatever. So anyway, so he came to our table and he starts cursing me out and blah, you know, all kinds of things, and I forgot that I'm with someone in that moment. So I'm used to don't do anything unless he does something. So just let it slide, just whatever. In the corner of my eyes, I've noticed that it's all eyes on me. because that dude was going around yelling at everyone, at other people. And then he came to me and it felt like, the black guy's going to handle it. He's going to handle it. No, whatever, man. So whatever. I ignored the dude because I knew he was going to leave. And then looked at my girl. Oh my God. My subconscious picked up on sheer disappointment. Like, just what the fuck? You let him. I didn't know how she felt. I guess I didn't consider that didn't take that into a factor, but let's just say, man, she dried up that day. It was the beginning of the end of that relationship. But in my mind, I was, whatever, but I know what it's like to, I'm comparing the two scenarios. In that particular scenario, the one that I just described with the dude yelling at me, I let it slide. But this guy is wielding a knife. That's a threat. That's it. Yo, someone's got to do something. It's like, yo, we both dying. We both got to die. But on that angle, I am not going to commit myself to say that if I was in this scenario, I would have handled it that way. And I think that's what makes it the worst is the whole shit was caught on camera. I think that's what, by myself, I could punk out or whatever. But when there's someone with you, or there's on camera, oh man. Yeah, that dude is going to be, I'm assuming, okay, I don't know him, but if it was me in that shoes, I am beating myself up for the rest of my life. Dang, there goes the punk. And I forget the name of this comedian. We're getting into gender roles. And asked him a question. There was seriousness in his answer, but I asked the question. I said, yo, could you be with a girl after you've been beaten up in front of her? And the way he responded, he was like, no, God, no, fuck that. No, it's over. Whatever. But to me is, I think that's where love is. If you can still be with a woman after you've been beaten up in front of her, that's love. In both cases. If she's like, because there are women, it's like, no, fuck that, man. You're a man. You're the defender. You're the protector. I'm like, I invest my security in your strength. Now that I think about it, though, this is like a complex topic I'm trying to, this is the kind of topic that usually evokes emotion, and it usually triggers that, oh, there's like, it triggers the, it's a right or wrong answer to that one. There is no nuance. There is no in between. There is a fuck you mean you're not fighting. That's the other thing is I'm not the fighting type. That's the other reason why I don't want to tell you what would happen to me if I was in that scenario. It could be either or. I might be a hero or I might be go out like a punk. I don't know. That's the one thing when I establish early in the relationship. It's, look, if you're looking for a knight in shining army, I'm not your guy. I'll understand if you walk away. I understand if that's what you need. But yeah, I know. I was kind of hoping homeboy would speak up. And, oh, fuck, did you see the knife? I mean, it was brown. Those brown dudes can fight. Whatever, how he explains it. The one person that I liked in the comment section, that I liked on TikTok, and this woman, she said that, yo, gender is irrelevant in this shit, in this thing. Homeboy just watched someone he was supposed to be in love, someone he loves, getting attacked and did nothing. That sentiment I can connect with. It's like, you know what? What a way to find out that, you know what? I didn't really like you that much. Sorry, I need to laugh. But anyway, it's kind of fucked up, man. I don't, what if that were me? This is one of those topics that with a co-host, I'd go back and forth. But it have to be the kind of co-host that won't be like, what? What do you mean you wouldn't do nothing? You little bitch. No, I didn't say I wouldn't do anything. I'm just saying I don't know what I would do. There's a chance I wouldn't do anything. There's a chance I might freeze in a fetal position. Oh, what was that movie? Damn, what was that movie? The partner got shot. And then they just come up in tears. Oh, like Fredo from in Godfather. I mean, yeah, but whatever, yeah. I don't know, man. Gangster shit is not forever. See, and that's why this scene reminded me of I used to do boxing training. I was in the gym, and first time sparring. And I noticed that every time a punch would come my way, I would close my eyes. And my trainer kept saying, open your eyes, keep your head up. Because it was just instinct. And I realized, that's why I said at the beginning, unless you're trained for it, because when you're trained for it, you're used on dealing with your fight or flight that fight or flight instinct and behaving accordingly. So unless you're trained, if that dude is a trained MMA fighter and he let that shit happen, yeah, that was a choice. Homegirl. But yeah, anyways, I think where this conversation gets a little messy for me is when you bring in relationship in there. And bottom line is, yes, ladies decide on the kind of man that you want. If protection is important for you, get that shit out the way, make that shit obvious. It's like, oh, duh. Or maybe you work out is, yo, I know some people that in that scenario, they know to be like, fuck it, take the phone. It's not worth it. Just take the phone. In that video, I can't tell if homegirl was just, because I saw her grab her bag, or maybe she was trying to, fuck that. You ain't giving, it is kind of interesting. She was like, she sees the knife and she's hiding the phone. Maybe she assumed that, hey, his back is against you. Do something, dog. Maybe she was expecting. I think it's a clear case of being with someone that you're compatible with. I want to be clear. I'm not faulting anyone. Well, except for homie who let his just whatever. I'm not faulting. I'm trying to look into this thing scientifically here, objectively. There was a lack of communication of expectation. It's like, dude probably expected her to just let go of the phone and I'll get you a new one. I'll console you and everything. Or maybe she was like, nah, I'm holding on to the phone because I'm expecting you to jump in. I'll take 2-3 knife cuts, but you better fucking put this dude in a full Nelson or something. But that shit, I think that should be like first date question. If I'm getting jumped, I used to, it's a joke that I'm working on, not joke that I'm working on, but a conversation I used to have with a friend of mine, CEO. You guys don't know who she is. Anyway, we were joking about, that's my love language. My love language, a woman who's willing to fight. If I'm getting jumped, it's two things. It's either if I'm getting jumped, there's some sincerity in, yo, oh, that's fucked up what happened to you. Or, yo, fuck it. They fuck with you, they fuck it with me. We all fight. We both fight. Yeah, if I'm with that kind of girl, then I would, that'd be interesting. Yeah, she'll jump into a fight for me, but we have a clear understanding that, yeah, I don't have to do any of the fighting. But no, I am not the kind of person who would let their homies. Let me put it this way. If I did, I would never be able to come back from it. Letting your homie get jumped and while you're just, actually, the closest I've come to that, I remember the story. Yeah, no, I was with a coworker. But in this particular, okay, this is where my line is. I was with a coworker, but he started the fight. And my God, and this particular human being's got this like magic. He's got this, he's like a bird from The Wire, man. He just brings it out of people, man. All I know is he started a fight with one person, and that one person was connected. We were like in a diner and seemed to be connected with, oh no, he fucked with a smaller person. And then a bigger guy was like, yo, fuck with me. But everyone, it's as if they knew his spirit. Everyone jumped in to whoop his ass. I'm laughing because everyone jumped in to whoop his ass. I'm pulling one person off of him. I'm pulling one person. Two are jumping in. Trying to pull two. Three are jumping in. It's whap. And since you have to wait till everyone got tired to be like, okay, all right. Oh, actually, a dude came to jump in to help me out. We didn't fight other people, but essentially he just like was able to get the hordes off of him. And then, I stuck around long enough to get in the cab and bring him home and remember that I am never hanging out with that person. But yeah, if you had it coming, yeah, fuck that. Do not expect me to have your back. You know what? Borderline, don't expect me on any of that gangster shit. If I hear, remember me, nigga? Or if I hear shit like that, then that means that you had it coming. Anyways, that's kind of fucked up, man. That's kind of fucked up. So I'm just going to conclude with, I feel sorry for homie. I think he's going to, if he is the kind of person I think he is, he's going to beat himself up. Look, I'm going to say in every man's life or in every person's life, but in every man's life, there's there might be a moment like that that presents themselves. And that instinct of fight or flight will kick in. And you, in that very short period of time, you got to make a choice. Fucked up. Anyways, I wonder where's he at?
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Volume to per fall. All right. Okay, so the last bit of randomness. This one could have been a final thought, but I'm committed to talk about my journey into buying tires. It's not going to be a, whatever, it's journey into buying winter tires. Excuse me, all-weather tires. But I need to talk about, I'm going to Google this too, Nas's latest album, Nas and DJ Premier's latest album. What's it called? Light Years. I like how I remember. Let's be. Oh. Yeah, I won't call it a review. I liked it. Okay, let me just. So this is a collaboration album. Right. Okay, let me just read some blurb to make myself sound like a professional podcast. Light Years is a collaborative studio album by American rapper Nas and record producer DJ Premier. It was released on December 12, 2025 by Mass Appeal. It is the seventh and final album in the Mass Appeal Legend Has It series of albums that were released in 2025. The album features guest appearance from rock band Steve Miller Band, and fellow rapper and Nas' former firm cohort AZ. Good track. The album earned favorable reviews from critics. All right, okay. Hip hop, length 48, 21 minutes. Okay. You know, okay, here's what I'm looking at. This is where I'm going somewhere with all this. Nas. How many studio albums does Nas have? Nas is he's like in his 50s, right? He's, let me get his age. He is born Nazir. By the way, fun fact, if I had a kid, I'd call him Nazir. I would have called him Nazir, assuming the wife or the mother allowed me to. September 14, 1970, 52 years old, 2 years older than me. All right. And he's got, how many albums did he release? One of the greatest to ever do it. Okay, discography. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 is still magic. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. God damn. 17 studio albums. Wow. And Illmatic being the best to ever do it. Right. Okay, so back in 83, I was an MC sparking, but I was too scared to grab the mics and the parks in. Kicked the little raps because I thought that niggas wouldn't understand. And now, in every jam, I'm the fucking man. I rap in front of more niggas than in the slave ship. I used to wash chip, now I load Glock clips. All right. Here's where this is going. There's so much I can say about the album. Aside from the fact that I fully enjoyed it, especially while high. There was a track where, one more track. There's a track that Nas routinely comes out with an album and he always has at least one track that sparks conversation. When Illmatic came out, I remember One Love was like, wow! It was written. I Gave You Power, I Made You Buck. Well, the one where he personifies a gun. He always has a track that makes you want to talk about it. And in this particular album, in true Nas tradition, there's more than one track that worth talking about. But the one that got my attention the most is the one where he shouts out the ladies of rap or women women in general, or just women of hip-hop? Anyways, in that track, and it's called, let's see if I get the name right. The track is called I'm like, no, get ready. New York State of Mind Part 3. Welcome to the other ground. No, not Mad Men. Pause Tapes. That's another dope one. Writers. No, that's one. Song. Sons. It's time. Oh, Bouquet to the Ladies. Bouquet to the Ladies. And in that one, the reason why it got my attention, yo, he shouted out Eternia. Eternia is a rapper from Ottawa, and she's been doing it for a long time. And it shocked me, man. She's like, I'm not going to act like I knew her personally, but I did know one of her managers that she used to work with. But she's known. She's like a name associated with, listed as Canadian rapper, but I've known her, very likely crossed path, not spoken to her, but she's Ottawa. That's my point. It's a big deal because Ottawa, we're not used to being on the fucking map. That's my point. And I looked her, I ended up Googling her and looking her up on Instagram, and there's a video of her just soaking it in as Nas shots her out. And it just shocked me. Yo, I felt like saying, we did it, Ottawa. But I would be surprised. She's like, fuck y'all, Ottawa. Y'all never believed in me. I don't know well enough to know if that's how she's thinking. But I know in that particular video, she was just soaking it in. And I just felt like applauding her. It's like, yeah, clap for him. Clap for him. Yeah, well deserved, man. Because she's been at it for a while. I still remember when she met one of her favorite rappers, Fonte from Little Brother. And yeah, he kind of dissed her. He kind of, you know, he kind of dissed her and on some joking shit. And she responded to it. It's like, yo, how it broke her heart. It's like, yo, fuck. Don't meet your heroes. Some shit like that. And so I felt like that was it for her. So I think it was a big deal from getting dissed by one of her favorite rappers to being acknowledged by another one. I thought it was like heartwarming. Shout out to Nas, man. Shout out to Nas. Right. All right. Now, this is really what I want to talk about. And I realized that I'm, whatever, man. The final say is going to be short. I, DJ Incognito. Sorry, he's another rapper, local rapper that, ex-local rapper. He moved to Toronto. What was I saying? Oh, right. This is really what I'm trying to get to. There's a reason why I read that verse where he said, back in 83, I was an MC sparking. First track, I was like, it's all right. Second track, I was like, I remember the first three track thinking it was all right. But then there was, here's the thing with Nas. Every once in a while, very common. On every album, he likes to experiment. And sometimes you experiment with shit and it's cool. And sometimes it's like, eh, whatever. But I respect Nas. I know well enough to respect him as an artist because that's what they do. Like, I'm not just trying to be pop. I'm trying to create art. That's what he does. He experiments. But where I'm laughing is when I remember going from, those tracks are all right. Those tracks are all right. And getting to that third track, forgetting that Nas is the kind of rapper who likes to experiment and being like, ah, oh, dude, give it up. Throw in the towels, right? This is probably on track three or track four, whatever, right? But I remember thinking, again, thinking of Little Brother. He there's a line he says. He goes, yeah, homeboy, yo, rap is not a country for old men. Listen to the album, and I was like, I'm wrong. I was dead wrong for saying that. Not just because I enjoyed the rap, the album, but it was also remembering Nas is a fucking artist. He enjoys doing, like, he puts out tracks like I put out a podcast, except, you know, his tracks, he gets way better reception, but that's not the point. When I end these episodes and say, hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it, I mean that. I do enjoy recording. Well, if I didn't, I wouldn't be doing it. Sure, I might criticize myself for it, but I do enjoy what I do, putting up these concepts, thinking about it, dedicating a portion of my life to expressing myself. So while I was going through that line of thinking, I found myself reflecting on what it must have been like to be Nas before he was Nas. I'm convinced that an angel came to him and said that, yo, you're going to be one of the best to ever do it. Now, grab this pen and paper and write down what I'm about to tell you. Yes, I'm convinced that Nas plagiarized his rap songs from God. From the goddess. That's how dope his shit is. I think, okay, this segment is talk about his album and also to celebrate hip hop. There are these moments that I'm grateful for. I feel like the last time I felt like this was when Clips released their album. But this one here, this collaboration between Nas and DJ Premier, which was I think it was something that the fans been wanting for a while. It's they came together and they both delivered. It was this segment is just celebrating hip hop, pretty much it. What it must have been like to be Nas before he was Nas. And that's why I went back to that verse of back in 83, I was an MC sparking, but I was too scared to grab the mics in the parks and kick my little raps because I thought niggas wouldn't understand. And now in every jam, I'm the fucking man. The idea that there was a moment in Nas's life where he didn't think this could happen baffles me. I mean, it's, and don't get me wrong, it's normal. Every artist, every good artist always feels nervous or has deals with insecurities and all that shit. But it's as looking on the outside looking in, it just feels like, wow, what do you mean you didn't know you were? As far as from my perspective, this shit was written. It was written. It's Illmatic. It was written. You were destined to make all these tracks. The other reason I was counting the fact that all these albums he created is the idea that I know for a fact this brother enjoys doing what he does. I have an office job and it's not all, most of us are doing this job because it pays the bill, but it's inspiring. I'm happy for the guy. He ain't no saint, but I'm saying I'm happy for the guy. I'm happy for this particular artist. So I'm going to end this with, check out the album and check out the album. Yeah, it's dope.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, that's it, gang. Let's wrap this up, jump into final say. And before I do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right, in Canada, I'm not sure for the rest of us, for you folks, but excuse me, I'm laughing because I'm like, this is going to be a boring story. I don't know. All right, here's what, long story short, I had reached a point where my car needed new tires. I was Googling, how do you know if your tires are bald and especially if you use a quarter, right? Apparently the technique is you put the nose. If you look on a quarter, Canadian quarter, there's a caribou, wherever that fucking animal is, right? And the nose, you point it towards the tire. And if you can, in the groove of the tire, right? And if that groove doesn't cover the nose, then you need new tires. Yeah, man. There was a distance between that nose and those tires. So I was like, fuck. And I had my my homegirl. She's like, knows this stuff, right? And she was like, yeah, let me check. Oh, wow. Yeah, man. She didn't even do the test. Like, yeah, dude, them things are bald. Look, there was a bit of groove on it. But the other thing, too, is I didn't feel like in control. That's what it comes down to. So again, big expense. I'm driving on my, what they're called, all weather tires. They came with the car and I have my winter tires stored with some, a garage. Tire shop. And I know they were done for. Because I remember driving and I was like, slipping and sliding all over the place. It was like my spidey sense were like, whatever, man. I gotta call the folks to say, yo, throw away those tires, sayonara, pour some liquor for them. But yeah, don't burn them. But whatever the fuck you gotta do, throw that shit in a recycling bin. How do they recycle tires? But that's another conversation. Anyways, I needed new tires. So what I ended up doing is so many options. Again, same homegirl, she bought new tires for her car. And I didn't know how to go from all these fucking options, all these goddamn options, to a decision. Making a decision is not a quick decision. It's not really sometimes I can be an indecisive person. Sometimes my brain will, when it feels overwhelmed, will like procrastinate, convince me to procrastinate on getting new tires. So what I ended up doing is, how did I do this shit? Oh, right. I went from first deciding that no more winter tires, I'm getting all weather tires. I didn't know that word. There was like, I used to get all seasons, which I thought was good for all seasons. But the reality is all weather is the shit. It's got that little logo on there with the snow. So that's my first learning. So deciding to go, that was the first choice I had to make, is deciding to go from all weather tires. Because I don't drive much. I don't. I thought back in the days I'd be driving a lot to go to comedy shows, but I don't drive a lot. So I went from finally deciding all weather tires, and how did it go? All right. And then that's when I used ChatGPT to, like, I feel like I'm selling the service of ChatGPT. No, I think I'm just saying, whatever, man. Use it as a tool. That's exactly what it is. Is being able to say, I don't drive much. I just need tires. And I ain't trying to spend too much, but I'm not trying to cheap out, but I ain't trying to, like, I ain't J.D. Rockefeller here. So he gave me, like, big names to no names. Blah, 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 and whatever. So again, too many choices to pick from. And then finally, I finally got it to narrow it down. And the name Pirelli comes up. Now, there's something with my brain that it has this. I don't remember much, but I tend to remember rap lyrics. I don't know. It's weird the way I. I don't do it as well as the brothers from the late Bodega Boys podcast. The Defunct, is that the word I'm supposed to use? Defunct podcast. Those dudes, like, they did it. But I remember just saying Pirelli, Scorpion, something active wear, or weather wear, weather active, or something like that, active weather, some shit like that. But the word Pirelli kept playing in my head, and I could hear Kendrick's voice playing. I kept saying, Pirelli skirting, Pirelli skirting, Pirelli skirting. And that's how I ended up with pull off at churches with Pirelli skirting. I had to look up the lyrics, right? And it's a dope verse, because there's just that explanation he's saying is pull off at churches with Pirelli skirting, and that's him saying I'm coming up. Like, church's chicken is like cheap ass fried chicken, but with Pirelli skirting in it. And I remember reading, and just that definition was how Pirelli is considered a high-end tire. Boom. That's how I made my choice. I feel like Kendrick deserves some kind of referral bonus for this shit. Yo, it's I think that's the biggest thing is I went from being completely indecisive to just hearing the word Pirelli, remembering a rap lyric, and being like, that's the fuck what I'm getting. I won't say it was expensive, but it was kind of high up there. It was like, yo, it's a kick in the nuts to the budget. I mean, fuck. It's a good thing I don't have any kids that I know of. Because, yeah, fuck that. Yo. Santa ain't getting you shit. I'm making up excuse to why Santa ain't getting. Oh, Santa's racist. Yeah, fuck that. Santa's a Trump supporter. That's why Santa didn't come down and didn't give you any presents. Yeah, y'all ain't getting shit. What? What's that? Stomach's growling. Well, get used to it, kid. Because daddy needs new tires. Anyways, The what I also like is they were kind of high end off tires, but I also managed to find the one, what do you call it, tire shop spot to I managed to get a good deal on the on both the tires and the installation. My regular joint, oh, they were like high up there. And I won't give you the price just because I'm a little shy about it. but I remember, again, I used the AI tool to ChatGPT to find this location. And I won't lie, man, the website, not that interesting. But the one thing I got going for it was the review. I guess if you people are into marketing, I think marketing people would probably enjoy this conversation. How I went from, I don't know, to find this is my purchase. How I became a purchaser. A consumer. Anyways, I found this place and it was like very, like really cheap compared to for installation and everyone else. But being the me that I am, I was really skeptic. I'm like, I don't like believing I'm getting a good deal only to find out that I'm cheaping out or I'm in a one of those you get what you pay for situation. So I drive to the spot. Okay, again, the reviews were kind of positive. There was a few bad reviews. That's how it works for me. If I see a few bad reviews, then I assume that it was just one bad experience. It was what those represents were bad experience, but it's not common. So I remember calling the dude, and I'm not sure if he was Lebanese, but he was definitely Arabic. He was an Arab because Lebanese consider themselves Arabs. That's another conversation. Or is it Persians? Whatever, man. But, the name Muhammad popped up. But homeboy calls me and, how do I explain it? Homeboy is speaking to me like we've known each other for a while. I'm not saying, I think I was talking to the owner or one of the owners, but I won't say he was speaking to me like a salesperson, but there was something like, hey, brother, yeah, brother, okay, uh-huh, yeah, my friend, we got, hey, my friend, oh, you know, there was, chaleureux, man. There was the way homeboy was talking. I guess there should be a review. And he said, he goes, yeah, man. He goes, look, I don't have the tire in stock. I'll order them. Should take me 3 days. As soon as it comes in, we set up this appointment. That's how you want to do it. And so 3 days goes by, and I'm thinking homeboy forgot about me. Ding, get the phone call. And he was like, yo, if you could come in Friday, that would early in the morning, that would make my day. And And that's what I ended up doing. But I remember driving there to the location. And I got to this particular place does not invest in presentation. I see a container. I'm like, okay, so is that where my car is going to? Like, this guy could just pick up and leave. But you could tell I think the reason why I'm getting a discount is because he figured out how to cut out his overhead. But I remember getting a sense of, I'm a little nervous about getting quality service from these people. Because I was used to dealing with chains. And they like bigger chains. You know, and them it's all focused. But homeboy came in, I dropped it off at 8:30. No, dropped off at 8. I get a phone call around 12. I was surprised. And I remember when he called me at 12 to say, I was expecting him to say, yeah, we fixed it, but you got to pay for this, that, and the third. I was expecting that. But it was just the way he was just talking slow. He was like, yeah, fix the tires. And I'm like, and? Man, nothing. Just come pick it up. Anyways, I was, probably the only, if I was going to give one credit is you could tell these guys are like mechanics or these guys are like car specialists because I touched my steering wheel and I could tell homeboy did not wash his hands, man. It was like all sticky and shit, all oily and things like that. No, I don't think he jerked off in my car. I think that he was just like, he just finished changing oil or car fluid all over the place and probably put some Purell and that's it. But they was just like, I had to take my car to the car wash just to make it fancy. But still, I left with some new tires, some new all-weather tires, and it felt good. And you know what? I should, on one end, I'm crediting the place where I bought the tires, but on the other end, I'm crediting, thank you, Kendrick. Thank you, Kendrick. You're all the way in Compton or touring whatever, probably in Australia or whatever, something like that there, right? But you're all over there, but I want, so if you know Kendrick, let him know that he was there to help me purchase some new tires. That's it. That's my journey. Nothing big and special. From choice to a purchase. I love that line. But I just love the way it came up in my mind. Anyways, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. As always, hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Dede Quebec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Freckle Liberal as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Get mama.
Thank you for listening. Oh, one more thing. Right. If at any point in this podcast you found yourself saying, yo, I don't like that you talked about this or that, or I don't like that, you know, I'm okay you talked about this, I just didn't like how you talked about it, or how you said it, or what the fuck, the way you breathe, or whatever the fuck. I just want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.